guys can go ahead and be seated. If you would, go ahead and take your Bibles out. We're going to be in Romans chapter 14 tonight. If you're looking at your Bibles, there's not much of Romans left. We've almost went through our whole Unashamed series, so we're excited about finishing up Romans well. So that's where we're going to be in tonight. Let me go ahead and say welcome to you guys. It's good to have you here. And I say welcome partly on behalf of the text we're going to be studying. That's what we're going to be talking about, is welcoming one another. That's really kind of the central theme in the text we're going to look at. It's all about welcoming one another. And I want to show you that before we really even begin, just where we're going in the text. So it sounds like a very easy thing. Like, here's your job tonight. It's to welcome others. I mean, that sounds pretty easy, right? Just welcome others. That's your whole role tonight. Just welcome others. That means to invite them in, to embrace them. So tonight, during fellowship, during hangout, just welcome each other. Tonight in this place, welcome one another. Sounds pretty easy, right? Like, yeah, that's cool. Well, it takes Paul about 30 verses to untangle all the mess that was going on in the church of Rome, to get them to do this really simple thing, which was to welcome one another. So I want you to read with me. Go ahead and look at Romans chapter 14. And I want you to see this highlight of this thought of welcoming one another. So go ahead and look with me in Romans chapter 14. And if you get there, go ahead and stand out of reverence for the word of God. Romans chapter 14. And we're going to begin reading in verse 1. And I want you to notice when Paul says the word welcome. Okay, so what word are you looking for? Welcome. All right, there we go. Here's what it says. As for the one who is weak in faith, what? Welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while a weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats. For God has welcomed him. So we've got this idea that we're welcoming right now. I want you to look in look at chapter 15 and look down with me in verse 5 and notice what it says in chapter 15. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Father God, I pray that you'd help us tonight to understand this simple truth about how we are to love and embrace one another, to welcome one another. But God, that's such a hard thing to do because we're different. We have a difference of opinions, difference of lifestyles. We have all kinds of different things about us that cause division. But help the gospel bring unity to this group. We pray this in Jesus' good name. Amen. So hopefully what you saw is at the very beginning of chapter 14, we've got this command to welcome one another. Hey, I want you guys to welcome each other. And then he goes all the way through all of chapter 14 in the beginning of chapter 15. And he closes to say, hey, welcome each other as Christ has welcomed you. You guys welcome each other. Now, it sounds like a very simple command, but notice how many verses we skipped to get those bookends. 30 verses that Paul has to deal with to get these people to do a very simple thing. Welcome one another. Now, how in the world could that be that hard? I mean, how is it that hard to just accept one another, to have unity, to have harmony? I mean, that's kind of the goal of the church. Did you read those last verses? Man, we want to be one voice. We want to be in harmony with one another. We want to glorify Christ with our unity. Why is that so hard? Well, you've got to know some things that were going on in the church in Rome, okay? The church in Rome primarily had two groups of people, the Jews and the Gentiles, and they were completely different. They had different backgrounds. They had different traditions. They had different beliefs. They had different thoughts. Their mamas raised them different. I mean, they were, in a lot of ways, different. And what happened is these people, they believed the primary thing to be the same. Okay, when it came to primary things, they believed in the gospel. They believed Jesus was Lord, that he died for them. He rose from the grave. They believed in the gospel. So they were coming into a church, all agreeing on the primary issue, the gospel. Jesus is Lord. But then they had these secondary issues that they were disagreeing about. And what happened is they were making the secondary issues to be primary issues, and it was tearing them apart. So if you went to the Church of Rome, what you probably saw is in a crowd like this, you would have the Gentiles over here and the Jews over here. And they were claiming to be unified. They were claiming to be one body. They were claiming to worship the Lord. And Paul's like, hey, this can't happen. If we're going to be unified, we have to welcome one another. So this thing about welcoming, it's really hard. Okay? So the goal is to be one. The goal is to be unified. But here's the problem with being one. To being unified, we are different. All of us are different. And in fact, that person you're sitting right beside, you're in a lot of ways different than them. You're different than that person. You've got different thoughts. You've got different ideas. You're in a little bit different than that person. But here's the deal. The person sitting like five rows back from you, you're probably even more different than them. And the person sitting five rows in front of you, you're probably even more different than them. And the reason is because without even knowing it, you came into this room and you tried to find in some way the people that were most like you. People who shared your beliefs, who thought like you, played the right sport like you, looked like you, dressed like you. You kind of gravitated to the person who, out of all of us, is somewhat similar to you. And those who are different than you, you probably gravitated over even further away from them. Not even knowing it. Well, we do that because we're different. And what happens is a lot of times we look at differences, and instead of seeing what we all have in common, we really focus on those differences. And we let those differences drive us apart rather than the one thing we all have in common, which is the gospel, right? We all have the gospel in common. That should be the thing that cuts everything else apart. That should be the great leveling field, that we've all came to the Lord Jesus through faith in him. So now we don't have to congregate just on who is most like us, but we can congregate with each other. Why? Because we all share the gospel together. So this thing about welcoming, the reason it's hard is because there's people who are different than you. And sometimes we look at differences and we don't see past those differences, and we see what we hold in common, which is we're all created in the image of God. We've all been rescued by Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are all on the same playing field, and we should all be unified by the gospel, not divided over all of our differences. And that's what's really going on here in this chapter. They're being divided over what's different about them instead of being united over what's the same about them, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm begging you guys, we want to be a group that is united on what we have in common, and that is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't be a group that is divided into this clique and that clique and this group from here and this group from there and this school and that school. I want us to all come together as one body, unified together. Why? Because we share the gospel. See, it's acceptable in a culture to gravitate towards people who are just like you and to stay away from people who are not like you. We see that all over culture. You see people are like each other, hang out with each other. People are not like each other, don't hang out with each other. We see that all over our culture, but the church should be a place where it's not like that, because the church is a place where, man, we share Jesus Christ, where poor hang out with rich, black hang out with white. Everyone hangs out with everyone. Why? Because we all share one common bond. Man, we're all made in the image of God, every one of us, and we've all been rescued by the gospel. And here, man, we are a family, all of us together. So no matter where you come from, no matter who your parents are, where they live, where they don't live, we all should be one body in harmony with one another. Why? Because we have the gospel. So what I want to do is I want to get into this culture and see what was going on there. And then I want to look at maybe our culture and see what's going on that causes some of us to divide or to look down on others. So here's kind of the big deal. They saw the differences among one another. So as you read this text, we're going to read some of it. Here's kind of the big difference. There's basically two people in this text. There's a strong person and a weak person. So Paul's going to call the strong person the Gentiles. And the reason he calls them strong is because he means strong in their faith. And what it means by that is they're not holding on to the law. They weren't raised on the law, so they're not kind of carrying some of that old tradition. They're strong in, we know Christ, we know the truth, he set us free, we've got freedom. But then there's this group of Jews who he calls weak, and they have a lot of traditions. They're holding on to some baggage. They've got some beliefs about the law that they're still kind of holding on to. So they haven't truly let go of everything when it comes to believing that, yeah, Christ is the complete fulfillment of the law. So here's what we see about these two people as you read. The Gentiles had this belief, okay? The belief one that really separated them was that all food is clean. There's no unclean food. Now, if you're like, what? What are we talking about? Clean food, unclean food. If you're like new to Christianity, this is really, really weird stuff. Well, here's the deal. The Jews believed that some foods were unclean. The reason they believe that is because the Old Testament said some foods are unclean. Like, for instance, pork was an unclean food. You could not have barbecue. That's sad, right? Christian's shaking his head like, what? I would rather die or just be unclean. Yeah, so they're like, you can't eat barbecue. You can't eat a lot of things. So they have unclean food. But the Gentiles are like, look, everything's clean. We're eating everything. We're stuffing our face full of ribs. And the Jews are like, dude, that's just gross because that food is unclean. So there's some division going on here. So they believe difference on food. The Gentiles would eat food that was sacrificed to a pagan idol. They didn't care. It's like, the idol's not real, so I can eat it. But the Jews would never eat something sacrificed to a pagan idol. So you have this division. Then the Gentiles believed that all days of the week were the same. Man, Monday through Sunday, everything's the same. Well, the Jews had a complete different thought. They believed the Sabbath was holy. It was set apart. You had to guard it. So you can imagine, out of these two views came different actions. For instance, when it comes to action, the Gentiles were eating anything. So you got to imagine, like, they're having a potluck after church, and the Gentiles are bringing, like, barbecue ribs, okay? And the Jews believe that ribs, if you eat them, like, you get killed by God and die and go to hell. Like, that's how big of a deal ribs were, and you have, like, the Gentiles showing up just, hey, man, you want a rib? Like, there's some huge divisions here. There's some crazy, like, differences in their beliefs and in their actions. So the Gentiles are pigs when it comes to the Jewish thought. And then, of course, the Jews would think, man, I don't really know if any meat's clean because I don't know if it's sacrificed to an idol. I don't know if it's an Old Testament law. So they would be vegetarians. Here you have a church of vegetarians and barbecuers. Big difference here, right? So we see these complete at odds with one another. Now, another belief was that all days were the same or all days were not the same. So for the Gentiles, there was no reverence for the Sabbath, that Saturday. For the Jew, man, the Sabbath was holy. The Jew couldn't walk a certain amount of steps. They had to prepare all of their meals on Friday. They couldn't cook on Saturday. They couldn't labor on Saturday. They couldn't do hardly anything on Saturday. So you've got to imagine, like, on Saturday, here's church people getting together. You have one who's a Jew and one who's a Gentile. And the Gentile's, like, out riding his four-wheeler. And the Jews are like, we can't even walk. This is the Sabbath. What is he doing? He's riding his, God is going to strike him down. And the Gentile's like, woohoo, what's up, buddy? You want to go four-wheeling with me? I got some ribs. It's like, no, I can't. Like, there's, so it's absolute complete different worldview, complete different actions that are going in this church. But they're coming together and worshiping and supposedly fellowshipping. But I have a feeling it was Jews on one side, Gentiles on the other, and they weren't really talking with one another. So here's what was going down. Here was their sin. You basically had the Gentiles who were despising the Jews. They were looking down on them. They were laughing at them. Why are you at home? Come ride the four-wheeler. And what you had is the Jews were basically judging the Gentiles. Look, if you ride your four-wheeler, you're going to die. You don't need to do that. God will not like you. So you have this judgment and despising going on. Why? Because the two were different. So what was going on in the church is you had these two people, the Jews and the Gentiles, who thought different, they acted different, and they were having sins towards each other that were different. And what Paul is trying to get them to see is, man, instead of looking at all these differences, man, you should be focusing on the gospel. You should be focusing on Christ, who you have in common. And as you come together, even though you have different views and different lifestyles and different actions, you can come together as one body and worship the Lord and actually fellowship with one another. Welcome one another. Invite people into your life. His goal was that a Gentile would have a Jew over to his house. And the community would see a Jew going into a Gentile's house. And they would ask the question, Why is that happening? Jews don't go into Gentiles' homes. What's happening here? And they could see, man, the gospel's happened here. We share Jesus Christ. We share a new kingdom, that in the kingdom, there's going to be no divisions, but we are going to be all people worshiping the Lamb as one family. So he wanted them to have a picture of what the kingdom was going to be like. He wanted them to have a picture of their shared collectiveness in the gospel, not their divisiveness on minor things that in the end didn't really matter. So I want us to kind of walk through this text, and as we hear from them, hopefully get some action for us too. Because you're going to find yourself in this story. You're thinking, oh man, that's crazy. Will you be surprised how much you do this as well? There's people in here that think different, who act different, who look different, who live in a different place than you do. And you'd be surprised how much you mistreat them, either despise them or you judge them, perhaps without even knowing it. So I'm hoping that as we read through this text, it will do work in my heart and it'll also do work in your heart. So the first real thing that we see that we've read together is Paul exhorts the strong person to welcome the weak in faith. So he's telling, hey, Gentile, you need to welcome the Jew. And he says, and do this not to argue with them. Like, don't welcome him. Be like, hey, buddy, come over. Now let me convince you that eating a pig is cool. No, that's not the point of welcoming in. You welcome them because you love them and you want the best for them. So the whole point is to welcome them. And then he goes on in verse 5. That's where we're going to pick up where we haven't read yet. So go ahead and look at verse 5. We're going to start about the Sabbath. Here's what Paul says. One person esteems one day is better than another, while another person esteems all days the same. So how about the Sabbath? One person believes in the Sabbath, one person doesn't. Here's what he says. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. And the one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. And the one who eats, eats it in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God. While the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord, gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be both Lord of the dead and of the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? And then he goes on to talk about how Christ is going to be the one who judges. So why are you judging? So really the first thing we see here is for us not to judge and not to despise. Okay, so he's saying, okay, for the one, if you're the Gentile, don't despise your Jewish brother. Because he's not eating whatever he wants to. He's holding a day as set apart. Don't despise him. Don't make fun. Look, you're still keeping the law. I can't believe this. Why would you do this? You're kind of looking down on him because he doesn't believe like you do. And then you have the Jew on the other hand who is judging the Gentile. Well, you're not doing what God wants because God doesn't want us to eat pork and God wants us to keep the Sabbath and you're not doing what's right. So the one who is free, the one who feels like I don't have to keep the rules, looks down on the one keeping the rules. And the one who likes to keep the rules is judging the one who's not keeping the rules. Now, how do we take this into our lives? Well, man, it's real easy for us to get into this as well. See, when we become believers, we sort of start to progress in our walk with Christ. And we get to mature a little bit. And then there comes a point where we get to see somebody else come to Christ, right? And you know when you get that friend that's like a brand new believer? Like they just come to faith in Christ. They don't know a lot, but maybe they just come from like a crazy background and they just came to Christ and you're hanging out with them and like they say a cuss word. And you're like, oh, I can't believe that. You're going to go to hell. Did you hear what came out of your mouth? Like it's all of a sudden you as this person who keeps the rules, who is better, who's matured in Christ. You're like just judging this new Christian who's just met Christ, who's just walking. Maybe not even know, like, I don't even know. I'm not supposed to cuss. Like that's not okay. Oh, I didn't even know that. See, we can get into the same thing. It's okay. Well, man, you've got a new believer who messes up, but you've got an old believer who is very mature in their faith, who now is looking down, despising, even judging the one who maybe slipped and doesn't even really know because they haven't matured in Christ. Amen. Don't judge and despise one another. Instead, man, let God do his work. Let God do his work of sanctification. Let God bring those people further along the road. That's not your place to always be the judge over everyone, but instead, man, just love them, especially the new believers, those who are weak in the faith, those who haven't grown like you have yet. Man, bear with them. Come alongside them. Work with them. Don't jump on them like some bulldog and like, rah, 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 memorize this scripture. You know, it's like, hold on. I don't even know anything yet. How about you come beside me and love me? How about you teach me? How about you walk with me? And then he goes on to this thing about the Sabbath. And he says, look, here's the deal with the Sabbath. There's some who believe they should keep the Sabbath. And they're keeping the Sabbath in honor of the Lord. And they're giving thanks to the Lord. And then there's the other group, the Gentiles, who are not keeping the Sabbath. They're not holding Saturday holy, but they're doing it in honor and giving thanks to the Lord. And here's what he says. He says, both of you should be convinced in his own mind. So both of you need to make up your mind how you could best honor the Lord and how you could best serve the Lord. And then you need to do that. And you need to stop looking at what the other one is doing and calling them out. And I think we get in this kind of debate all the time. I mean, we have all these things when it comes to Christianity that are really secondary. Like one of the big things that we kind of go through is like movies. You know, you have like Christians. Okay, what movie is okay to go see? Have you ever had that conversation? Well, obviously G, right? Well, no, I mean, I go to PG. Well, I mean, some PG-13, right? Or maybe a few R-rated movies, right? I mean, it's okay to go an R-rated movie, right? Because R is okay. I can go to that. Well, no, you can only go. No, I can. See, there's sort of this gray area. Like, what is okay and what is not okay? And what Paul is saying here is, you know, there's not like a Bible verse that says, okay, only go to G movies or only go to PG movies. But he says, man, here's what you do when you go to see a movie. You ask this question, am I going to honor the Lord? And can I give thanks to the Lord as I go watch this movie? And if you will use that for how you view movies, you're probably going to be okay. But if you have a brother or a sister who's not as mature as you, who's not where you are spiritually, and then you see them going to something that you're like, man, I don't think they should go to a PG movie. Well, I think it's G only. He's saying, man, just how about you cut them a little slack? How about we pray for them? How about we walk alongside them with love and compassion? And then you let God work that out in their own heart. Now, I'm not saying if they're like, you know, clearly sinning, we have an obligation to step in. We have an obligation as brothers and sisters to give biblical judgment upon them. But I'm talking about some of the gray areas. And man, we get caught up in all kinds of gray area issues. Man, I mean, when it comes to food, men are talking about food. It's like, I mean, you'll get people who are like, man, you got to eat like super healthy. Like if you don't eat super healthy, you're not a Christian. Like it's, I mean, you've got to eat like the certain stuff that's only organic that you get on this aisle. And that's all. Like that's what Christianity looks like. And then you got people who are like, man, I love McDonald's. Like McDonald's is awesome. And you just eat McDonald's and you're like a fast food lover. And if you're a fast food lover and you sit down with your Big Mac beside somebody with their tofu salad, there's automatically some differences between you two, right? The person eating the tofu salad is probably likely to start judging you for what? Eating a Big Mac. How could you do that? Don't you know Jesus does not bless that? That's going to kill you. And you got this guy eating his Big Mac. It's probably a dude just eating his Big Mac. He's despising the person eating the tofu salad. Like, I don't even know what that is. And you're saying, I don't know what that is. You know, it's like this two-way street here. So you got all these things that we do. It's like, okay, what about school? I mean, it's obviously biblical to only be homeschooled, right? Well, no, it's actually better to be in a Christian school because that you get like Jesus. Yeah, but if you're in a Christian school, you can't be evangelistic. So all Christians should be in public schools. So you see, you get these issues where it's like the public school kids are like, man, you need to be in the public school because that's where Christ would want you. And you have the Christian school kids are saying, you need to get out of the public school because Christ wants you in here. And all of a sudden we start dividing over what school we go to, what movie we go to, what we eat. And we start really dividing over all these different issues that in a sense aren't primary issues. It's not the gospel. And what he's saying is, man, be careful when it comes to all the secondary issues. Don't let them cause cliques and divisions and put you despising other people or judging other people. What he says is basically what you need to do is you need to take care of yourself. You need to worry about yourself. You need to figure out your conscience, what you believe is honoring to the Lord, what you believe is how you're going to give thanks to the Lord, and you need to do that. And you need to pray for all of your brothers and sisters around you that they would do the same. Another thing he's saying, don't be so much God in everyone's life for them. You don't have to be the Holy Spirit in everyone's life. But you can chase Jesus yourself. You can grow in the Holy Spirit. You can develop your convictions. You can live out those convictions. But if somebody doesn't share your conviction over a non-central issue, like the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, you know what? You can sit by that person. You can fellowship with that person. And you can have joy in the Spirit with that person. Why? Because you share something bigger than your differences. You share the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I think he's telling us to accept differences. To know that as you walk through this walk with Christ, as you live out your faith in a body like this, man, you're going to have to accept some differences that come along with that. You're going to have to accept that some people are going to think a little bit different than you. They're going to act a little bit different than you. And you've got to please the Lord and honor the Lord in your life. And then you've got to let Jesus deal with their life. Now, I'm not talking about if you see a brother and sister caught up in sin, we're clearly supposed to go and tell that brother or sister and get them to repent. But I'm talking about non-sin issues, sort of gray issues. There's not really a verse we can go to. It's kind of, well, I think this and they think that. Those are issues we don't need to let divide us. But instead, we need to have the gospel to be the thing that absolutely unites us. And that's what Paul, in a sense, gets to. That's where he's going to. So here's what he's going to say. Instead of trying to judge everybody, instead of trying to fix everybody, here's what you should do. You should be trying to remove stumbling blocks in people's lives. So here's what he says. Look with me in verse 20. Here's what it says. Do not for the sake of food destroy the work of God. Everything is indeed clean, but if anything is wrong for anyone to make another stumble by eating what he eats. It is good to eat meat. It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that causes your brother to stumble. So here's what he's saying. He says, look, I'm agreeing that all meat's the same. There's no bad meat and there's no good meat. So Paul's agreeing with the strong here. Man, all meat's the same. It's all good. But he says, you know what I'm going to do? If it means that eating meat, it means getting my way, exercising my freedom, doing what I think is right, if it causes someone weaker in the faith to actually stumble and get moved away from Christ, here's what Paul says. Man, I'm going to choose not even to eat meat. I'm going to choose not to drink wine. Man, I'm going to choose not to celebrate my freedom that Christ has given me if it means my brother or my sister might think, I don't know about Paul. I think you're sinning, Paul. I think this is bad. I don't think I should do this. I'm not sure about this. And it makes their conscience be worried. It makes them feel worried. I don't know if I should eat. And then they try to eat. And then they feel bad about eating. He said, man, when it comes to my brothers and my sisters, I would rather sacrifice being right. I would rather sacrifice my freedom in indulging whatever I want to do for the sake of them, for the sake of loving them. I don't want to cause them to stumble in any way. So here's what it looks like. If you want to be a group that is really trying to build unity, it's, man, I don't want to do anything that causes one of my brothers or sisters to stumble. I mean, there's 1,000 things that could be lumped in this category. I mean, we don't struggle much with like eating meat. Like there's not a lot of you tonight that it was like, how dare you eat that cheeseburger? That could have been sacrificed to an idol. I'm worried now. You're causing me to sin now because I'm thinking about idol worship and I used to be an idol worshiper. Like that's not happening tonight. Everyone ate a cheeseburger and it's fine. So those aren't the same issues that we struggle with. But perhaps for you, man, there's issues that when you do them, it really causes your brother or sister to stumble. I mean, maybe for you, you love country music. I mean, you just love it. You're like, man, I love country music. I listen to it. It's great. Well, you've got a best friend that really thinks if you listen to country music that like you're going to hell. Like it's bad. If you listen to country music, that's. So what's he saying here? Well, when that friend rides in your car, what are you not going to do? Like play country music, right? Like, that's just, he's saying, look, we need to remove, like, stumbling block. If you think that you can honor Christ and give thanks to Christ while listening to country music, and you can have that real discussion with Jesus, and he okays it, then he's saying, man, if there's another brother and sister who thinks that's absolutely heresy, and you could never do that, then when they get in your car, don't celebrate your freedom at the cost of their feeling bad about it and their conscience being worried and them being now in this turmoil. He said, man, sacrifice your music. Sacrifice what you watch. Sacrifice what you listen to. Sacrifice things for the sake of the other person. So it's not like, okay, what can I get away with and what can I do? It's, man, how can I live a life that's not going to cause anyone around me to stumble? Man, how can I live a life that everything I do, there's no one that's going to see me doing that, and then they're going to go do that, and they're going to stumble, they're going to sin, or they're going to be taken away from Christ in any way. And if you'll live like that, I promise it'll keep you doing a lot of things just for the sake of, man, I want to honor Christ, I want to give thanks to Christ, and I want to truly see my brothers and sisters grow. So here's kind of his end conclusion here. I want you to show kind of how he ends this. And what we're going to see is he's really going to ask you to deny yourself in order to build up your brother or sister. So as a Christian, if you're maturing in the faith, you're okay with everything, he's going to say you can deny yourself for the sake of your brother and your sister who might be a new Christian, might be struggling with some things. You can actually deny yourself in order to build them up. I want you to see what he says in chapter 15, verse 1. It says, we who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Did you hear that? Man, here's what he says life's about, not pleasing yourself. So when you think about everything you're going to do tonight, everything you do tomorrow, it's not about pleasing yourself, okay? So your life is not about pleasing yourself. So what is your life about? Here's what he says in verse 2. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. So what should your goal be? Not to please myself, but when I come into a place like this, when I come into the body of Christ, when I go to school tomorrow, I want to sacrifice my rights, my freedom, my pleasure in order to pursue another's good, in order to build my friend up, in order to build others up for the sake of Christ. And notice who did this before you. Here's what it says in verse 3. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproach of those who reproached you fell on me. So Christ, he didn't please himself. He came to bear your sins. Why? Because he came so that you might be built up. And then he goes on. We've already read this verse, but here's what it says in verse 5. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. So what's the goal here? What's the whole point? The point of us is to be united for what? The glory of Christ. So think about, okay, here we are as a group. We're looking around. We're different. Then we think different. Sometimes we act different. We look different. We come from different places. There's a lot of differences even in this room. And Paul is dealing with a church with a lot of differences. There's Jews and Gentiles. There's worldview differences. There's family difference. There's tradition differences. And what he's saying, you are now brought into a family where you have one common bond, and the common bond is Jesus Christ. Therefore, as you come into this place together, it's not to point out your differences and to polarize away from people who are different than you. But instead, you can go up to people who don't play the same sport as you do, who aren't the same age as you, who don't look just like you, who don't root for the same team as you, and you can actually go up to them, and you might be very different in a lot of ways. But you know what? You can lay down some of your pleasures, you can lay down some of your freedoms in order to fellowship with that person, to welcome that person. Why? Because our unity as this body of Christ is giving testimony for the glory of God. Because you're not going to find it in your schools. People from all different cultures, from all different social class, from all different neighborhoods, fellowshipping together and loving each other. What you're going to see is people spanning out into different cliques. But what we should see in the church is something completely different. Because it's not our differences that we celebrate. It's not our differences that we see. But instead what we see is, man, all of us, if we're in Christ, we share something that goes beyond that. And man, this is not about eating and drinking. It's about a kingdom that is to come. A kingdom where we as one people from all nations and all tribes and all tongues and all neighborhoods and all colors and all cultures are going to share one thing in common. And that is Jesus Christ. And we're going to be in perfect unity and harmony forevermore. And what Paul is saying is right now, in this age where there's still sin and we're still tempted to despise or judge other people who are different than us, he says, instead of despising and judging, how about you start removing the stumbling blocks that are coming between you two? And how about you join in fellowship? How about you lay down your life for them? How about you love them for the sake of unity so that all of us together would share something so uniquely different that all your friends at school would ask, man, why do you hang out with so-and-so? And why did you talk to them? Why did you text them after school? Why are you riding in their car? I mean, the way you live out this gospel should cause questions because it isn't a normal thing. And you're saying, man, that's my brother. It's not your brother. Yeah, it's my brother. Well, that's my sister. See, we're a family. Because we might look different. We might think different. We might even act different in some ways. We might even argue about some things. But you know what? We're family. You know what? We have an older brother. His name is Jesus. And he has broken down all of our differences. And together we celebrate as people all created in the image of God, the reality that all of us come together as one beautiful family that is unified in harmony and set on fire for the glory of Christ. And if we'll live that out, I promise the world will take notice. The world will see. And then we can share with them the good news that brought us all together. That is the good news of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for a gospel that tears down all of the divisions that we see in media and on television and in the newspapers and in culture, all of the differences that we see as people. God, we find a gospel that cuts through all of that, that shows us something deeper, how we all are image bearers of God and how we all have been rescued by the gospel. And now we are one family. So God, help us to do that really simple thing. Welcome one another. Hug one another. Invite people in as family into our lives. Because God, that's what you call us to do. To display your gospel for the glory of your name. We pray this in Jesus' good name. Amen.